Hospitality, the excellent meal again. It's one of those sad situations when you know you have to preach afterwards and you see all that good food out there and trying to maintain a certain level of restraint, knowing that you need to be somewhat mentally sharp and such. But that has been great food. We've enjoyed a lot of good fellowship with many of you. It's been a blessing to be here. Matthew chapter number 14, beginning in verse number 22, we read, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us again now. Lord, I pray that your presence would be real. Lord, open our hearts and minds. Speak to us out of your word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, over the years, you've probably seen this much as I have. A Baptist preacher walk up here, take off his watch, and set it up here somewhere. For many years, I assumed, as a kid, that was so that he would know when to stop. After watching it for a while, I quickly realized that couldn't possibly be it. So then I came to the conclusion that perhaps it was just, as I've had with some watches, they're a little loose on your arm, and you know, so when you start gesturing and such, you know, that rattling can be a little disconcerting, and you know, it might even remind you that such a thing as time exists while you're preaching, and you certainly wouldn't want that to happen, so you take your watch off. And I thought that was the case for a while, but more and more I'm coming to the conclusion it's so that a preacher can see the watch and, you know if he's getting close to a personal record, you know, and if he needs to stretch it out just a few minutes longer to achieve that personal best time. Don't worry, that's not what I'm planning on doing tonight. In Matthew chapter 14, we have the account here of Jesus walking on the water and then the Apostle Peter walking on the water. We certainly see an account of faith. Something that is beyond what most of us have ever seen, and certainly beyond what most of us have ever done. When you think about the feat of literally walking on water, it's something that, you know, just kind of blows your mind. But I see something more in this passage, and I want to speak for a few minutes this evening on what I've called God's expectation of faith. God's expectation of faith. First thing I want to draw your attention to in verse number 28 is a faith that is willing to ask the impossible. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, there was certainly nothing in Peter's experience up to this point in his life that would give him reason to believe that he could walk on water. You know, if you've ever tried it, I personally have a couple of times. You know, if you're a kid and you're around a swimming pool, at some point you're going to try it. You know, you just take off running, see how far you can get. Nothing in that experience has ever given me the idea that I could, in fact, walk on water. You know, it's like that's the fact. If you fall out of a boat or fall out of a canoe, you know, your experience does not lead you to believe that you could walk on water. And so Peter was asking something that, according to his experience and the experience of everyone he knew, was impossible. It was impossible. He had faith that was willing to ask the impossible. And this is a truth we see in the Scriptures. Go with me to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. We see this same principle several places. A faith that is willing to ask the impossible. In Mark 11 and verse number 22. That's chapter 10. No wonder that doesn't work right. Mark 11 and verse number 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Here, Christ presents a faith that is willing to ask for a mountain to be moved. You know, certainly that would be impossible. Christ says, no, it's like with faith, this is now possible. Now, it's like, you know, this is a difficult passage to preach in North Dakota. Nobody knows what a mountain is. Thankfully, you know, you folks have some idea of what he's talking about here. You can look out there and you can see a mountain. And God says that faith is able to move that. If you say, mountain, be moved, be cast into the sea, and doubt not, it'll happen. Now, there's certainly some things that are tied into that as far as it being according to faith and the faith that is necessary. We know that faith in and of itself cannot move a mountain. Faith can move the God who can move a mountain. So there's things that are tied up in that. That not doubting would need to assume that you really believe there was a good reason for that mountain to move and be cast into the sea, which I personally haven't come up with one yet. I'm hoping there'll come a time where I will have that opportunity, so I can truly put this to the test, where I can honestly say, Lord, that mountain needs to move into the sea. I mean, it just can't happen any other way, Lord. You've got to move that mountain into the sea, because if that situation should arise, it's possible. God can do that. God would do that. Faith that is willing to ask the impossible. Mark chapter number 9. Back just a couple of chapters, Mark 9 and verse number 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you to suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. And Christ goes on, and we know, casts out this evil spirit. And so here we see a faith that it was willing in this man to ask when others had failed. You know, sometimes we our faith stops there. You know, it's like we've witnessed somebody try something before. We've witnessed somebody else fail. You know, maybe even someone that we would deem to be a better man than me. Okay, he's tried this, he attempted this, and he failed. So I can't ask God for that. This man's faith was willing to go and ask for something where others had failed. He had made this request before by men that he thought would be able to do something for him, and they had failed, but that did not deter this man's faith. He came to God with his request yet again. Faith that is willing to see God work where others have failed. Go with me to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. We're talking about a faith that is willing to ask the impossible. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number... Luke chapter 1 verse number 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Here we see a faith that is willing and able to see God work beyond human understanding. Those who knew Elizabeth, those that were experts in such things, had declared her to be barren. This was not possible. She was past this age. This wasn't going to happen according to human understanding. But with God, it was possible. Faith is willing to go beyond human understanding. Go with me to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 26. Luke 18 and verse number 26. Christ has just given made the statement, it's easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 26, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Faith that is able to see God work beyond any human difficulty. God presented, Christ presented this truth. This is how hard it is for a rich man to be saved. Well, human reasoning, human understanding, human work in that situation would then say, it's not possible. It's not possible. We can't do that. That's beyond us. But God again says, yes, you're right. With men it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. You know, we can be in that same situation where by all human effort, it is impossible. You know, it's like, I don't care what group of experts you get together, no matter how many doctor degrees they have, no matter how many years of experience, if you want to put a camel through the eye of a needle, you're going to have a problem. Now, it's like, you may have, like me, heard, you know, that's a, you know, it's like a regional reference to a camel going through the walking gate and such in the wall and things like that. I don't personally believe that. You know why I don't believe that? Because God says it's impossible with man. I know for a fact it's possible for a camel to kneel down and walk through a normal-sized door. God would not have said that's impossible. So he said it was impossible with man. Okay, so I believe he was talking about a camel and a needle. It's impossible. With God, it's possible. Faith that is willing to ask the impossible. That is what God is looking for. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 21. Beyond any difficulty we could encounter, God is able to work. Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew 21 and verse number 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now obviously this is another telling of the same passage we read before, but he sheds light on something from a slightly different perspective. You're amazed in what you've seen happen to the fig tree. Like, if you really have faith, the kind of faith I want you to have, the kind of faith I expect, you will see and you will expect to see and you will look for things far beyond anything you've seen before. Whatever it is you've seen God do up to this point, it's like you're marveling because I said to a fig tree, don't bear fruit, and it died. It's like that's small potatoes compared to what I can do. You think this is impressive that I killed a fig tree? If you have the kind of faith that I want you to have, you can say to a mountain, move, and it'll move. You know, we can be limited by what we've seen. Oh yeah, I've seen God do this, and so that's where we put the boundary. I believe God can do that. I believe that's what God can do. I've seen that happen. You know, I've heard testimony of God doing that, so... yep, I believe that can happen. I believe God can kill a fig tree. God says, that's nothing. I can move a mountain. It's like, if you'll have faith, if you're willing to ask the impossible, if you're willing, like Peter, Lord, bid me come on the water, I can do that. I can do that. God's expectation of faith. Back with me to Matthew chapter number 14. What is God's expectation of faith? Secondly, in verse 29, I see a faith that is willing to act upon God's word. Matthew 14 and verse number 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now it's like, I don't know exactly what... one of the things that has always puzzled me a little bit about this passage is exactly what Peter's plan was. I mean, and I'll ask him someday. I'm going to assume he had one. But there was no doubt, you know, we know Peter. You know, it's like from time to time, you know, he spoke maybe a little bit faster than he thought. And so there was probably, you know, it's like, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you out of the water. And then the Lord says, come. You know, there was probably a moment there where Peter was like, what did I do? You know, as he starts climbing over the edge of the boat. But he went. It's like the Lord said, come. His faith responded and his faith acted when God spoke. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. This is what great faith does. Great faith responds and obeys and acts when God speaks. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, of the righteousness which is by faith. Now again, it's like, think about it. What did God ask Noah to do? Build an ark, big enough to hold two of every kind of animal on the face of the earth. Noah, I'm going to destroy the world in a flood. To which Noah would have said, what's a flood? You know, we can sit there and question sometimes when God tells us to do something and we know exactly what he means. Sometimes it's even something we've done before. God's expectation of faith is, when I tell you to do something, you do it. If I say, come unto me on the water, I expect you to come unto me on the water. If I say, build a giant boat because I'm going to flood the world, I expect you to build a giant boat because I'm going to flood the world. Noah did that. Look down in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Always loved that one. I mean, again, you know, it's something, we know the whole story. Noah didn't, or Abraham didn't. God said, come out from your people, come out from your family, come out from your country. And it was years later before God told him where he was going. You know, so often we demand from God every detail be filled in. Lord, I need to know everything. If you want me to do anything, I mean, I need to know exactly what you're doing. You know, it's like I appreciate Brother Pittman and his honesty. I don't know exactly where I'm going in Chile. You know, there's a part of that, it's like, you know, he didn't mention it, but that can be a little worrisome. I mean, you're going down there to a country where you kind of stick out a little bit to begin with, and then you're not even entirely certain where you're going when you get there. That's what God asks us to do sometimes. Like, yeah, I'm not going to give you all the details, but if you have the type of faith that I expect, when I say go, you'll go. Abraham went. Down to verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. When God said, give, Abraham said, okay. Again, this made no sense to Abraham. He had waited for this son for years. This was the son of promise. There is nothing about this request that would have made sense to Abraham. There is no way he could have understood exactly what was going on. But his faith acted when God spoke. That is the kind of faith God expects from us. When God asks us to do something, when God tells us to do something, faith acts. Faith obeys. That is God's expectation of faith. When Peter might not have known exactly what he was getting himself into, but when Jesus said, Come on, Peter. Peter got out of the boat, started walking on water. Back in Matthew chapter number 14, a faith that will act upon God's word. Verse number 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Here I see a faith that still looks to God when it comes to the end of itself. You ever been there? I have. God has been working in your life. He's been moving you in a direction. And you know, you've been following. You think you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden, you just feel like you're sinking. It's like all of a sudden that storm is too big. It's like, and you're sitting there and God, what are you doing? And there is the temptation to look elsewhere. You know, who had Peter been trusting while he was walking on the water? Jesus Christ. Yes, his faith began to falter a little bit. He saw the waves boisterous and he began to sink. But for all of that, his faith still knew where he needed to look. He didn't start panicking and trying to swim back to the boat. Jesus was in, you know, by all appearances, the exact same situation that he was. We can get into that situation. God has led us so far, and then all of a sudden things start to get a little out of control, we feel like. So then we try to grab everything ourselves. We try to take hold of things. We try to fix the situation. It's like, yeah, Peter's faith had come to its end. He had run out, but he didn't allow that to take his eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's like, I don't even know exactly how to explain that. I know just a few years ago, I mean, I really went through that situation. My wife can tell you. Or with just where my life was, some things that I had gone through, I mean, I was questioning much of what I believed. But you know where I took all those questions? To the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whatever it is you're going through, whatever the doubts might be, whatever the difficulty might be, don't let it take you away from Jesus Christ. Don't let it happen. Peter didn't make that mistake. Did he do some things wrong here? Yeah, probably. Did he allow his focus to get on the wrong things for a minute? Yes, he did. But did he allow it to stay there? Ultimately, no. And when he began to have these doubts, when he began to have these fears, when he began to have this panic and this distress and this disturbance in his soul and in his spirit, he stayed focused on Jesus Christ. And Christ pulled him up. A faith that will still look to Jesus Christ when it comes to the end of itself. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. This faith will look to God when all previous experience would say that all hope is lost. Now again, sometimes we don't give these disciples quite as much credit as they deserve. You know, we know at least four of these guys were professional fishermen on this sea. They knew what kind of storm this was. They probably knew people who had died in just such a storm. They weren't panicking. You know, it wasn't a matter of, oh man, the boat's getting a little rocky here. You know, it's like, again, you read those verses, so that the ship was covered with the waves. All experience told them, this is it, guys. You know, maybe there had been a time where they had just beaten one of these storms. They had seen it roll in over the mountains and they had just gotten to shore, but, you know, some friends of theirs didn't quite make it. And despite everything else, again, you know, they did some things wrong here. Christ will rebuke them for that. We'll get into a little bit more of that in a minute. They still went to Christ. They were sure they were going to die. But even in that desperation, they still went to Christ. They still knew where to go. They didn't allow it to sway them from that. They still went to Christ. Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 23. Further on in the passage we read just a few moments ago, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. A faith that still looks to God when it reaches the end of itself is a faith that will look to God when there's no denying that they have that I have doubts. I don't let those doubts turn me in another direction. This man wasn't sure. Christ asked him, point blank, do you believe? I'm telling you, it's possible. Yes, I can heal your son if you'll believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, help. Help my unbelief. My faith isn't perfect. I have my doubts. You know, did he have good reason? Yeah, you know, he had already been to see the apostles. He had seen these men working miracles. And you know, maybe when he first saw the apostles even, he was like, this is it. This is going to be the deliverance of my son. And he was excited and he came. And the disciples were probably confident. Yeah, bring him over. And then they couldn't do anything. You know, we can be in that same situation. You know, we get excited about what God is going to do. And God has been working in our lives and bringing us to a point, and we just keep expecting things to go that way. And then all of a sudden, we crash, land flat on our face. And that brings doubts. That brings doubts. You know, the next time God asks us to do something, you know, he's going to be there and he says, do you believe? And we're going to be in the same boat. What are we going to do? No, I can't do it again. I can't get my hopes up again. I can't stretch myself that far again. Or will we say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Will our faith still look to Christ once it comes to the end of itself? Peter's did. Back to Matthew chapter number 14. Verse 30 again. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Here I see a faith that survives failure. Now certainly, this could have been the end for Peter. You know, I don't know all that went through his mind there. You know, many of us in that situation, I mean, it was no power of his own that was keeping him up on top of that water to begin with. So Peter could have been in a situation, God, why'd you let that happen to me? You humiliated me in front of all my friends. You asked me out onto the water. I started walking on the water. Here, I did something that believing that you're the only one that could do it. And then just because I got a little concerned about the circumstances, you let me sink. In front of all my friends. I've had enough of this. You made me look like a fool. Not what Peter did. We won't take the time to go on and read everything that happens in Peter's life after this. But he survived his failure. Yes, his faith had failed. But he didn't blame God for that. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't roll up into a ball and refuse to ever take a risk for God ever again. You know, when he was standing before the council in Jerusalem, you know, we don't see any indication that he was sitting there. You know, the last time I really stepped out by faith, I ended up almost sinking to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if I should do this. No, he spoke with boldness. His faith survived failure. Go with me to Acts chapter number 7. This is the kind of faith that God expects. Acts chapter number 7. We see a similar event in the life of Moses. Acts chapter number 7, verse 23. The Bible says, "And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. He supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not." Here's Moses at age 40, having been raised in the palace in Egypt, a man of position and a man of prestige. He's like, these people should get it. God's going to use me to deliver them. I mean, that's why I'm in this position. And so he was out kind of scoping the territory, seeing exactly how this was going to work, and stepped in and helped one of his Hebrew brethren. And you know, it's like, I think, you know, this is going to work. I'm the guy for this job. And so he began to act on that. And then the Bible says the people were like, no. And we can read that account going forward where, you know, it's like verse number 26. "And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Now, this is something that happens to Christians. You know, something as simple as, you know, you want to go witness to someone. Surely they understand that now that I'm a Christian, I'm the one that's supposed to give the gospel to them so that they can have everything that I have. And then we get a response like this. "Who put you in my life to tell me what to do? Who put you in my life to tell me what I need?" And we can just be crushed. You know, maybe it's a brother and sister in Christ that we see starting to go astray. And, you know, we've been good friends for years. And so, you know, we really feel like, hey, you know, I'm the one that can probably say something to them. Maybe I'm the person that can then bring them back. And so we put ourselves out there. And we say something. And this is the response we get. "Who are you? Who are you to tell me?" Moses could have been done. Verse 35, "This Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush." God knew he had been rejected. God said, "I have a purpose for you." You know, Moses struggled with it a little bit. His faith needed a little bit of work at that point, but it survived failure. It survived failure. Back to Matthew chapter number 14. Verse number 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, many times I've read this passage and I've wondered about that. Why did Peter get rebuked? 12 guys in the boat, one guy gets out and walks on water and gets rebuked for having little faith. there's something about that that immediately strikes me as possibly being a little unfair. I mean, you know, it's like, imagine, you know, we put in a swimming pool here, end to end, 6 feet deep, and, you know, we all take turns trying to walk. And, you know, most of us get to it right about there. One person gets 8 steps out and then sinks. And that's the person we all laugh at. Look at you. Look at you sink. What's wrong with you? So what's going on here? We know the Lord didn't make a mistake. The Lord didn't make a mistake. Why did he rebuke Peter? Well, I'll tell you what I believe. God's expectation of faith. God expects a faith that brings a higher expectation. God expects a faith that brings a higher expectation. Peter had done something no one else had ever done. He had walked on water. I don't know what it was like. You know, did it feel like walking on water? Whatever that is. Did it feel like firm ground? I don't know. But apparently he got out there and started walking on the water. And then he sank. Then he saw the winds, and he saw the seas boisterous, and he sank. And God said, "Oh, ye of little faith. Peter, I let you do something no one has ever done. You witnessed my power in a way no one else ever has, Peter. And because of that, I now hold you to a higher standard. I'm not going to rebuke them for not getting out of the boat. But you, Peter, walked on water. And then you began to doubt that I could do it. Peter, I did it. I worked in your life. I changed you. There's a higher expectation, Peter. You walked on water. Back when you had never done it, back when you were in a boat, I didn't have a problem with you doubting whether you could walk on water. I have no problem that Matthew doubts whether he can walk on water. He's never done it. You, Peter, you've walked on water. That's the faith God expects. A faith that leads to and brings a higher expectation. Go with me to Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter number 20. We see this again in the life of Moses. Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter 20 and verse number 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." God told Moses, "Speak to the rock." Moses smote the rock. God says, "Moses, you didn't believe me. Because of that, you're not going into the promised land." Now, we won't take the time to go back and read it all in Exodus chapter number 3, but you can read God calling Moses, appearing to him in the burning bush. And I don't know, if I read that passage, it goes something like this. "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and lead my people out." "Who, me? Don't you know who I am? I'm not the guy for that job." "Moses, no, really, I want you to go and lead the people." "No, I won't do it." "Moses, I really want you to go back and lead the people out of captivity." "They won't believe me. I tried this once before and they won't take me. They won't have me." "Moses, I'll take care of it. They'll believe you." They won't even believe I'm really from you, from the true God. Moses, I'll take care of it. I mean, for me, when I read Exodus chapter 3, I see a lot more doubt and lack of belief than I do in Numbers chapter number 20. But at this point in Moses' life, God says, Moses, you know better. Moses, you know better. And you didn't believe me. You can't see the promised land. Moses, I've got a higher expectation now. Your faith should be stronger than that, Moses. You've seen me work. You saw the 10 plagues. You saw me lead the people out. You saw me split the Red Sea. You saw me provide in the wilderness. You've seen me do all these things, Moses. You can't doubt me like that anymore, Moses. I have a higher expectation. Back in Matthew chapter number 8, here we see the same thing with these disciples. We read the first part of this story just a moment ago, Matthew 8, verse 24. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now I mentioned earlier, you know, their perspective. It's like if you look up that word tempest, it's the Greek word seismos. You know what words we get from that? Seismic activity. Earthquake. They were in a boat. You know, he's got some pictures out there of what happens to boats when there's an earthquake. These guys had a reason to be terrified. But Jesus says, Oh, ye of little faith. You've been with me long enough now, guys. You've witnessed the miracles that I've performed. I've talked to you about my ministry and why I'm here. Guys, there's no way we were going to die in this storm. You know better. You know better. I have a higher expectation. God's expectation of faith. Is your faith one that will ask the impossible? Or does your faith only go as far as you've gone before? You know, when you think about serving the Lord, will you only do as much as you've done before? When you give, will you only give as much as you've given before? Will your faith ask the impossible? Does your faith act upon God's word? When God speaks, do you act? Or do you sit and try to reason it out? Do you compare it to your experiences? Do you weigh it in the balances? Or is it simply, that's what God said? I'm going to do it. That's God's expectation of faith. Does your faith look to God when it comes to the end of itself? You know, that's so much the problem with the world's faith. They have faith in their faith. And so when their faith runs out, they're done. When my faith runs out, I still have God. I'm going to have some problems at that point. They're all mine, not his. Nothing's changed with him. If I'll still keep my focus on him, just like he did for Peter. Peter's faith failed. God didn't. God reached down and pulled him out. Just because our faith fails doesn't mean we have to sink if we'll still look to Christ. Will your faith survive? Has your faith survived failures? Or have you allowed it to affect you? Last time I tried that, it didn't work. I felt the Lord ask me to do something, and, you know, I failed. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I won't try it again. I'm done. Or will you, like Peter, continue on? And then will your faith bring a higher expectation? Are you willing to obey God to the point that you're willing to embrace that expectation? I'll be honest with you. That's something that scares me. No, I've had the opportunity to watch that at work in my parents' lives, where they've obeyed, they've followed, they've lived a life of faith, and sometimes it seems like that expectation just gets higher and higher and higher. Sometimes it does. That's what God wants. Are we willing to have a faith that will raise expectation? Do you seek God's expectation of faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us, and Lord, for this example we see. Lord, we can certainly focus on several things here, Lord, but you did a work in Peter's life. Lord, we see some good examples. Lord, we see some, maybe some negative examples of how Peter handled this situation, Lord, but we can certainly see ourselves in much of this. Lord, give us a faith that will ask the impossible. Lord, give us a faith that will act upon God's word. Lord, give us a faith that will continue to look to you even when we fail. Lord, that we might survive those failures. And Lord, go on to do more. And Lord, even to allow you to expect more of us. Work in our hearts to your honor and glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.